scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Acts 1, 4 through 8. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power with the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth."
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good to see you all here this morning. I said in this morning's class that Jehoshaphat was later on after 830 BC, but I remembered that I had that reversed. He's actually before. So he was during the time of Ahab and Jezebel. We remember those people. So that was whenever Jehoshaphat was. So that valley of Jehoshaphat was something that those people would have known in that day. So just a little correction from our class period. I just wanted to make sure I told that before we started our lesson. But on the day of Pentecost, something amazing happens. The Holy Spirit is given to the apostles of Christ, and the miracles start happening, even by the hands of the apostles, by the mouths of the apostles. Something amazing is about to happen. But before that happens, we just saw the promise of the Father that was given there in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. So they had that promise from Jesus. And then we saw Jesus ascend into heaven. We saw that in Acts 1. If you continue reading there, Jesus gives them those last things that he says, and then he ascends into heaven. After he gives them that promise, even, of the Holy Spirit, that they should wait for that promise. And then, of course, they would. So if we go to Acts chapter 2 now, Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 1. Acts 2, in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So this is the day of Pentecost. We've also, in our studies, in the Five Acts of Worship series on Wednesdays, we also know that the Pentecost day for the Jews was also called the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of Weeks. So the apostles, they're actually assembling together to celebrate this feast, to partake in this Feast of Harvest, this Feast of Weeks. This is one of those Israelite days, this Israelite feast that they would do this. They would come together and they would partake of these things. So now, we of course know in context that they're awaiting this promise. And what is the promise once again? The promise is of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to help them in things that they need to know. He's going to help them in ways of miracles. He's going to help them do all this to prove who? To prove Jesus. To prove Christ, the divine Savior of the world. So that will all be proven by the miracles, by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as we call it. Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Read it with me. Once again, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, filled the whole house where they're sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So here's the scene. Here they are, all the apostles. They're sitting in this house. They're all about to partake in this feast, and all out of nowhere, there's a mighty rushing wind. Imagine a wind. How a really, really powerful wind sounds. Well, they're hearing that now from heaven. All of a sudden, out of nowhere. And now, as they're sitting there, there's these tongues. These strange tongues. They're literally a fire. Tongues that are sitting upon each of them, each of the apostles. And now, the Holy Spirit is given to the apostles. They have the power to do things that men couldn't do without God's help. They have the power to speak other languages. They have the power that we're about to see to speak languages they hadn't known before. And that's so cool. That's what we call that speaking in tongues kind of thing. That's what it's talking about here. These men were able to speak in other languages. How? because of the gift of the Holy Spirit being given to them. They were able to speak in other tongues, other languages. And it's really neat what's happening here. John chapter 14, verse 26. Let's turn there. Put a marker in Acts. Acts 2. And turn to John 14. John 14, we're going to read verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Now flip over one chapter. Go to verses 26 and 27 of chapter 15. John 15, 26 and 27. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So these things were promised to them. The miracles were promised to them. By the help of who? None other than the third person of the Godhead, one of the persons of the Godhead. We know that to be the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. He would help them. He would be their helper to help them remember the things that they need to teach the people about Christ. To help the people witness the things that they saw from Christ, the miracles that Christ performed, they also now will be able to perform so that they can prove what? Christ. They can prove Christ as the Savior of the world, as the true, divine, proven Savior of the world. Miracles are going to be used now. And you're seeing one here in this account. Of the many, many accounts in Scripture, right here is whenever it starts. Right here is whenever you see the apostles getting these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it starts with them being able to speak other languages. It's so cool. It's so neat. So let's continue reading there in verses 5 through 11. Acts 2, 5 through 11. Acts 2, 5 through 11. We're going to see the people witness these miracles now. Acts 2, 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the mighty rushing wind sound, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia," verse 10, "Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes." Verse 11, "Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" All these people from all these places are hearing these Galileans speak their languages. Had these apostles been to all these different nations where they would know these languages? You think they'd been to every single place on earth like that? Did you hear what it said? There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Every nation. They're all assembling together here in Jerusalem, all from different languages. And now these men, these Galileans, who, by the way, there's no such as planes back in that day. There's no such thing as getting places in 5 seconds as we can today. These people are out of nowhere able to speak all these different languages from all these people from distant lands, from Rome, from all the way over in Cappadocia. That's in modern-day Turkey. That's all the way north in modern-day Turkey. I mean, all these languages. Really, really neat what's happening here. So the Holy Spirit is giving them these things, these gifts. The gift now to speak other languages that they weren't able to speak before. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Let's turn there. Acts 2, 22. It's right nearby. Acts 2, 22. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." Did you see what it said there in verse 22? "Hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by what? By miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know." So now, those miracles that they saw from Jesus before are now being seen by the hands of the apostles, by the mouths of the apostles. This is such a neat account. This is all happening right now, right presently. Peter is now preaching this sermon in Acts 2:22. And right before that, they just got the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That mighty rushing wind happened. Everyone heard it. And now they're all witnessing this miracle happening before their eyes. All the apostles are speaking in other languages, speaking in tongues and words that they don't even think that those people would know. But they know all these languages. How? Only because of the power of God. Of course, we would expect someone to speak their own language and maybe a couple other languages. But they're able to speak every language here. That's really awesome. That's really cool. That's the power of God. Complete, perfect, and proves Christ without any doubt whatsoever. A miracle, let me describe a miracle to you. As you read throughout the accounts of the New Testament, and you see miracles, and even in the Old Testament you see miracles, is a miracle something that's done halfway or complete? Well, it's done complete. It's done all the way, so that there's no doubt at all. No doubt. There's no doubt that that was a miracle. Because people will try to replicate today miracles, won't they? They'll try to make themselves look like they have magical powers. We have sorcerers today. We have witches today. We have old people who think that they have these magical powers. We don't have those people, actually, because they're not actually using any sort of power. So God, back then, though, He was able, and He is today as well, also, but He used miracles that were without a doubt no trick, no sham, no anything like that. They were right before your face. There was no doubt about it that that was something that was supernatural. That was something that was by the power of a deity, by the power of divinity. People could see that before their eyes. And the only way people could say that that was not a miracle was by pure ignorance. Simply and blatantly, by pure ignorance. That was a miracle. There's no doubt about it. So here we see the people's reaction to it, as we just read in those verses. The people's reaction. Now let's get some history on this. Do we remember how languages came about? Go to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. This is one of the most famous accounts of the Bible. It's not very big, but it's one of the most famous. Genesis 11, 1 through 3. We'll start reading there. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, they had asphalt for mortar. They said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." So let's get the picture here. Let's get the scene. Man, many years before, has now started. The first sin brought all the curses into the world. The first sin brought all of that calamity for mankind. And they all still speak the same language, however. They're all still speaking the same language. They're all really one people, one nation. They're all speaking the same language. So after the Garden of Eden, and after all that period of time happens, we get to sons like Seth and like Methuselah and all those different people. All that period of time happens. We talk about Noah and the flood. That happened before this. And now in Genesis 11, we come upon the people assembling together in one place. And now, what are they doing? They're all speaking one language. They're all one people. And they're building a tower whose top is in the heavens. I want you to notice what it says in verse 4. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered over the face of the whole earth." Are they doing this for God's glory? Or are they doing this for their own? Why do you think God punished them? They're doing it for themselves. Let us build a city. Let us build a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us build this. Look what we have done. Look how awesome what we have done is. So yeah, at the Tower of Babel scene, they're building these things. And God now, in verse 5, read with me, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said," verse 6, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord, verse 8, scattered them abroad from there, over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad, over the face of all the earth. When did languages begin? All the way back in Genesis 11, at the Tower of Babel. This is when languages began. This is when men's language and tongues would be divided. They would become other nations, other peoples, because they could no longer speak the same language. And why is that? What caused that to happen? None other than pride. None other than the fall of man that started in the beginning, which was sin, and now you see it again. Pride. The Tower of Babel here, all the way in Genesis 11, here they're doing it again. After the flood, after all of that, then they fall again, and now we have confused languages. So now, just as God confused the languages at the Tower of Babel, now He's giving it back. Now He's giving back the power to speak all these different languages. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? In Acts chapter 2, all the way, this time, many, many thousands of years later, with these apostles, as God confused the languages before, because of the fall of man, which is sin, now God is giving them the ability to speak all these different languages. Only God has that power, you see? Only God can do that. That's a miracle. That's awesome. That's something you can see before your eyes that God surely has done. All these years, men, women, we've been speaking these languages, different languages that we can't understand each other. Whenever I hear Spanish or whenever I hear Italian or French, it's right now the silence because I can't understand it. I can't understand it really. I know a few words, but I can't really understand it. But these apostles can speak these languages fluently. Fluently. It's like it's one language to them. That's awesome. That's a miracle of God. Perfect. Complete, thorough, exact, as they need it to prove Christ. And that's exactly the reason for it, to prove that Jesus is the divine Savior of the world. And let's look at one last thing. Go back to Acts 2. One last thing here in Acts 2. We're going to read verse 12 again. Acts 2, 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" So now we're going to see two different reactions to this miracle. The people have two different reactions. One is good, one is bad. One is blatant ignorance, and one is, wow, we just saw a miracle in front of our eyes. There's no doubt. That's a miracle. 12 men are all doing this at the same time? This is awesome. That's a miracle. So two different reactions. They're cut to the heart in verse 12. Whatever could this mean? You could see they're cut to the heart. They want to know more. They're not being ignorant of it. They're not being prideful. But they're humble. They're seeing this miracle, and they're happy about it. They're wanting to know more. They're devout Jews. They're Jews from every nation under heaven, and they're wanting to know more. Is this the Messiah? Could this mean the Messiah? Could this Jesus have actually been the Messiah? These are the questions that they would have been asking. This is really cool. Different reactions now. So miracles, of course, we know were a part of the mission of Christ, and they're seeing it before their eyes. Luke 4:18-19. Luke 4:18-19. We'll read it together. Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. These miracles, they were used to prove Jesus. Just as Jesus used the Holy Spirit to prove that He was the Savior of the world, also the apostles are using the Holy Spirit and the gifts that He has given them. By, of course, Jesus and the Father, the Holy Spirit has given them these gifts. And, of course, it's being used for the mission of Christ, these miracles are. So, the question I'm asking you all this morning is, are you in this first group? Are you in this first group that we just read? When you saw a miracle before your eyes, imagine being back in that day. You're one of these Jews. You know Old Testament Scripture. You know the Messiah was coming someday. You know Jesus was around, and you didn't believe it. Now you see a miracle before your eyes. Do you believe it? Do you see that and believe it and say, wow, could this be the Christ? Could this be the Christ? Can you imagine the questions and the amazement back then? Could this be the Christ, the Savior of the world, who's come to save me from my sins? All mankind of all ages, could this be the Messiah, finally? And we see it right here before our eyes. How neat, how amazing, how awesome. Or, what if you're part of the second group? Read there in verse 13, Acts 2, verse 13. Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. They are full of new wine. They're drunk. They have alcohol everywhere, all inside them. They're full of new wine. Two different reactions to the miracle. People acknowledging that Jesus is the Christ here, that this could be happening. They want to know more because a miracle has happened before their eyes. There's no doubt about it. There never was with a miracle of God. And then this other group of people saying they're full of new wine. How could you witness a miracle of God with 12 different people, apostles, speaking all these languages of all the earth, all here at the same time, right before their eyes, and then say they're full of new wine? Say they're alcoholic. How could you say that? Witnessing a miracle of God. How could you say that? Except it be by pure ignorance. By pure ignorance and disobedience to God. That's what we're seeing here, Christians. That's what we're seeing here, friends. It's a miracle right in front of their face. John 15, 23 through 25. Let's read it together. John 15, 23 through 25. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Can you see them hating Jesus without a cause here in this account? I can. I can see them saying they're full of new wine as these apostles are now going to give this message of Christ. We're going to see some follow after Christ after seeing a miracle before their eyes. And then we're going to see that second group saying, still, they're full of new wine. After seeing the miracle, all of this mighty rushing wind booming from heaven. You know what a rushing wind sounds like, a mighty one? Everyone can see this. Everyone can hear it. Imagine the scene here. This is amazing. And yet, they're saying that they're drunk. How even disgusting is that? They're saying that a gift of the Holy Spirit right before their eyes is, of course, by the result of drunkenness. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. Acts 2, 17. We read it earlier this morning in our class. It applies very well to our class. Verse 17, Acts 2, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. What we concluded in the class this morning was that these things were prophesied of 800 years beforehand. 800 years beforehand, these things, these miracles that would happen with Christ, with the Messiah, were prophesied. And they said it in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, right after this miracle takes place, with these other languages being spoken, right after that, and it's prophesied. So should the Jews know this? Should they know it's coming? Yeah, they would have known that. They would have been ready for it. We saw devout Jews even in our text in Acts 2. They would have known that. They would have known messianic prophecies like Joel. Yet, they're saying they're full of new wine. Just like they did to Jesus when he was on the cross, saying, are you the King of the Jews? If you're the King of the Jews, bring yourself down. If you're the Son of God, bring yourself down from the cross. They were mocking him, just as they're mocking him now, after he's ascended into heaven, and he's given them the Holy Spirit. They're still mocking him. How awful. How awful is that? Are you part of the first group, Christian friends? Are you part of the first group? Or are you part of the group that is the second group? That's mocking Jesus' miracles, all these accounts that show that Jesus is the Christ. Have you been ignorant to follow after Jesus, maybe your whole life? Have you been ignorant of that? Are you still waiting for some reason to follow after Christ? If you are, if you're not a Christian yet, why is that? You need to change that today. You need to fix that now. Because today, we could all die. Out of nowhere, Jesus could come again. And the question is to all of us to hit today, are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? We know that song, don't we? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready for that great and awesome and terrible day of the Lord? Will it be awesome to you? Will you go to paradise? Will you go to heaven? Or will you go to torment? Will you be ready for that day of the Lord, for the judgment? So two different reactions to this. We see this awesome account, this beautiful account in Acts. Christians and friends, the lesson is yours today, this morning. If you have any need at all, whatsoever, if you have a physical need of any kind, prayers for family or prayers for yourself, if you need prayers for encouragement from the brethren here, if you need prayers in any way whatsoever, spiritually, mentally, whatever it is, let us help you today. Let us pray with you. If you are not a Christian, as we just said, if you're not a Christian, you're not yet saved. You're not ready for the judgment day. And you need to correct that right now. You need to correct that. You need to follow that plan of salvation. You've heard the Word of God today. You've heard this awesome miracle of Christ that happened 2,000 years ago before all these people's eyes. And the first group said, what could this mean? And they were amazed and they wanted to know more. And the second group said, they're full of new wine. What group are you of? Are you of the one that believes in the miracles right before your eyes? That believes in Jesus? If you saw it back in that day, and you saw that, and all those men speaking those other languages, what would your reaction be? Would you follow Jesus, or would you rather choose to be ignorant? And it is a choice, friends. It's always a choice in our lives whether to choose to follow after God and the light, or to follow after our own sins and darkness and Satan. The lesson is yours. If you have any need today, please come to the front as we stand and praise God together.
Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away.